Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here and have the privilege of bringing you the word this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Ruth chapter 2, verses 4 through 17 for the reading of God's word. Ruth chapter 2, verses 4 through 17. Please give your undivided attention to the word of God. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, "She is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your sight, my lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." And at mealtime Boaz said to her, "Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied, and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded the servants, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. And also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles, and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So far the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great salvation of which we are given a glimpse here in the book of Ruth. We thank you that you do not delight in the death of the wicked, for if you did, there would be no hope for us. Instead, O God, you have welcomed the foreigner, the stranger, and the outcast, such as Ruth and ourselves, to your heavenly banquet table. We are eternally grateful for your gracious provision. We confess that there is nothing in us which makes us worthy of your favor, that only Christ is worthy, and that you have freely bestowed your salvation upon us only for his sake. But we ask that since you have seated us with our risen Lord in the heavenly places, that you might feed and nourish our souls this day by your word. For Christ our Lord is our meat and drink. You have promised to be with us in a most holy and heavenly way in the preaching of your word and the right administration of your sacraments. And so we ask that as your word is preached and as we partake of the supper this morning, that we might behold Christ our God, our Redeemer, and our life. Amen. Our story is set in the broad context, as Ruth 1:1 tells us, in the days when the judges ruled. During this time, when the judges ruled from about 1350 BC to about 1150 BC, there was no organized leadership in Israel because, as the very end of the book of Judges tells us, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Gone were the days of Moses, Aaron, and Joshua, under whose leadership the people of Israel triumphantly, though all too imperfectly, left their hard life of bondage in Egypt and entered the promised land, which flowed with milk and honey. Those days were gone. And the days when the kings ruled the people of Israel, beginning with Saul and ending with Zedekiah, who reigned over Judah, those days had not yet arrived. So in this interim period between the judges and the kings, marked by lawlessness, covenant-breaking, sin, God appointed various men and one woman to rule over his chosen people. Within the context of the book of Ruth itself, however, we can see the days of the kings approaching. Ruth 4:21 and 22 tells us that from the marriage of Boaz and Ruth will come Obed. From Obed will come Jesse. From Jesse will come David. And no one who reads his or her Bible can miss Jesus as the descendant of David's, who fulfills all of the promises made to David. No, the days of the kings are not far from us here in Ruth 2, because the seed of the monarchy begins here with Boaz and Ruth. Now that we've peeked ahead a bit, we should also look back to chapter 1 and recall that there in verses 16 and 17, Ruth made an eloquent profession of faith. This is not what we would expect from Ruth, a foreigner, one of the lo ami, that is, not my people, an unbeliever. Instead, it was Naomi, an Israelite, who all but cursed God for depriving her of her husband and her two sons. And Ruth, the Moabitess, from outside the covenant community, Ruth invoked the covenant, binding herself to God and his people, swearing the oath that Yahweh would be her God and the Israelites would be her people. We should also recall the reason why Naomi had left the promised land and why she is bringing a Moabitess back into the promised land upon her return. Bethlehem, the house of bread, had no bread, for the Lord had visited a famine upon the land. But why would the Lord visit a famine upon the people and the land whom and which he had promised to bless? But the Levitical laws regarding the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience give us the answer. God's blessing was conditioned upon Israel's obedience, and Israel had disobeyed. God's people had been unfaithful. Naomi and her husband Elimelech, whose name means "my God is king," left the land which flowed with milk and honey instead of trusting their Redeemer. Naomi and Elimelech left this promised land with their two sons to forage for food among the unclean Moabites. Though her sons each married a Moabite woman, both Naomi's sons and Elimelech died there in Moab. Now, upon hearing that the Lord had replenished the house of bread with bread, Naomi sulks back to Canaan, while Ruth embraces the Lord in covenant. Now, arriving at chapter 2, we find a more narrow focus for our context. The first three verses give us an overview of the rest of this chapter, possibly even of the rest of the book of Ruth.
By repeating Boaz's kinship with Elimelech in verses 1 and 3, we get the point that Boaz is then the relative of Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law. Boaz is Naomi's kinsman, in whose eyes Ruth will find favor. Verse 3 tells us that it was Boaz's field in which Ruth found herself gleaning, and that is where we find ourselves at the beginning of our passage in verse 4. But verses 4 through 17 are structured in such a way as to suggest the focus and the climax of our story. The objects of Boaz's conversation mark the sections. At the center, we find Boaz talking with Ruth in verses 8 through 14. That center is the focus and the climax. And this is flanked on either side in verses 4 through 7 and verses 15 through 17 by the interaction of Boaz with his reapers and his servant in charge of the reapers. Having been given this clue then, in verses 1 through 3, that Boaz is Ruth's kinsman, and knowing Naomi's wish for Ruth in chapter 1, that she would find another husband, that she would be redeemed from her state of widowhood, we eagerly anticipate the meeting of Boaz and Ruth, their marriage, and the start toward the monarchy. But verse 4 does not gratify our yearning. The action in the story is delayed. We will have to wait. Instead, the suspense builds as Boaz comes from the house of bread to his fields where his reapers are harvesting the makings of bread. And after exchanging greetings in the Lord with them, he must have noticed Ruth, for he asks the servant who is in charge of his reapers about her. She is a Moabitess, a foreigner. Ruth herself confesses as much in verse 10. How can I find favor in your eyes, Boaz? I am a foreigner. Slowly, in the context of our story, we remember that this is not the first time that we have encountered the foreigner theme in Israel's history. Indeed, that was Israel's identity in the land of Egypt before the Exodus. In fact, in the context of the Lord's command to Israel regarding orphans and widows like Ruth, he reminds them of the great salvation with which he had saved them, saying in Exodus 22:21, "And you shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Even Moses, that great covenant mediator, who was used by God to lead Israel out of Egypt, even Moses said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." But God made provision for the poor and the foreigners within the boundaries of Canaan. Keeping your place in Ruth, if you turn to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22, we can read of this provision. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22. There we read, "When you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor gather the gleaning of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy and the alien. I am the Lord your God." And so the servant in charge of the reapers granted Ruth's request to glean in this field, and she had been gleaning since the morning with only a short rest. Now when Boaz speaks to Ruth in verse 8, now we hear him against the backdrop of redemptive history. He is not merely providing for the widow Ruth, he functions as part of the same supernatural self-disclosure of God the Redeemer. Israel's story of going from being strangers and foreigners, being taken in by God as his people, Israel's story is Ruth's story. Israel is not to wander outside the borders of Canaan, and Ruth is to remain within the fields of Boaz. Israel's eyes are not to wander after foreign kings and their gods, and Ruth is to keep her eyes on the provision of Boaz. Just as God protected Israel from those who meant her harm, so Boaz protects Ruth by forbidding the men to touch her. And just as God quenched the thirst of the Israelites in the wilderness, so Boaz makes available to Ruth all the water that she might desire. Boaz is beginning to act as Ruth's redeemer. So it is no wonder that Ruth responds to Boaz the way that she does, bowing low to the ground and asking, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And his answer to her is reminiscent of someone we know from before the Exodus, someone we know from before Moses, all the way back to Father Abraham. Again, keeping your place in Ruth, turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Just as Abraham did as the Lord had told him, he went forth from his country and from his relatives and from his father's house to the land which the Lord would show him. Boaz uses this language with Ruth in verse 11. She left her father and her mother and the land of her birth and came to a people that she did not previously know. Ruth's reputation has commended her to Boaz. For in contrast to Naomi the Israelite, who did not trust God to be her provider, in contrast to Naomi the Israelite, who did not believe that God would redeem her first from her hunger, then from her widowhood and her sonlessness, and now from her estatelessness, in contrast to that Naomi, Ruth, the alien Moabitess, the foreigner, has been faithful not only to Naomi, for Israel is gleaning in order to feed Naomi also, but she has been faithful to God as well. Like believing Abraham before her, Ruth too was living by faith as an alien in the land of promise, because she too was looking for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. She had come to take refuge under his wing, and she is beginning to find that refuge in type and shadow in Boaz. Ruth again expresses her gratitude that she has found favor in the sight of Boaz because he is treating her as if she were one of his own servants, though she is not. We see this beautifully at mealtime, where Ruth must have been apart from the rest of the servants and reapers because Boaz invites her to join his employees at the table, to share bread and wine with his servants as if she were one of them. But do not miss the irony at the end of verse 14. It might seem likely that the servants would serve Boaz. It might even seem more likely to the catechized Israelite that the alien, the foreigner, should at least serve Master Boaz, if not the rest of his Israelite employees. If anyone should be doing the serving in this story, it is Ruth. But wealthy Boaz, the Israelite who has the right to be served by a Gentile as one whose ancestors were commanded to drive the Gentiles out of the promised land, wealthy Boaz serves Ruth, the foreigner. And he not only serves her, but he nourishes her in such abundance that she has food left over. But the refuge which Boaz provides does not end there. As Ruth rises from the table, satisfied and ready to resume gleaning, Boaz commands his reapers not only to allow her to glean among the sheaves, and not only to refrain from insulting her and rebuking her, but he exceeds his lawful duty to this female foreigner by ordering his reapers to intentionally pull out some of the grain from their bundles, which they had worked so hard to harvest, and leave it for Ruth to glean. What a privilege! Boaz has yet again provided for Ruth so abundantly that at the end of a day's gleaning, Ruth had gathered an ephah of grain, what normally took a poor person the better part of 2 weeks to glean. But do not miss it, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Do not miss what all of this means. This is not merely a nice story to teach us to love our neighbors or to provide for the poor. This is Boaz functions as part of the same supernatural self-disclosure of God the Redeemer. If this story sounds familiar, it should, for it is your story too. Ruth's story is our story. As chapter 2 will go on to explain, Boaz is a close kinsman to Naomi and thus to Ruth as well. Close kinsmen in ancient Israel were to redeem the property that their poor relatives had lost. This close kinsman was called a goel, a kinsman redeemer. Boaz was Ruth's kinsman redeemer who saved her from a hopeless widowhood. But he is only a sketchy picture pointing us to the ultimate redeemer from heaven, who became our kinsman by coming in the flesh, by becoming a man. You see, in Adam, we lost the property which had been promised to us if Adam had obeyed. We would own God as our God, and he would own us as his people, in his presence, in his heavenly throne room. But Christ, far better than Boaz, is your heavenly kinsman redeemer who has saved you from a hopelessness resulting from being without God. He has redeemed you from your destitute status as foreigners to the kingdom of God. He has redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming that curse for you. For as lawbreakers by nature, we would have been condemned to being foreigners to God's kingdom for eternity. But Christ, who, like Boaz, came to serve you, not to be served by you, Christ not only died to redeem you from the penalty God demands for your sin, but he lived a perfect, holy, and righteous life in your place, that you might be declared co-heirs, fellow servants, fellow citizens with Christ. And as if that weren't enough, Christ not only lived and died to redeem you, he was also raised for our justification. That resurrection vindicated Christ, and when you are united with Christ by faith, his vindication is your vindication. Yes, Christ, far better than Boaz, is your heavenly kinsman redeemer. According to Ephesians 2:12-22, though we were at one time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, Christ has redeemed us. In Christ Jesus, we who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Just as Ruth was a foreigner and an alien in the land of to the land and the faith of Israel, so we too, wretched sinners that we are, were also strangers and aliens to the covenants of promise and the kingdom of God. As Hebrews 11 tells us, Ruth died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that she was a stranger and an exile on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. But as it is, she desires a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called her God, for he has prepared a city for her. But we have received the promises in Christ. He inaugurated the heavenly kingdom of God, which has been the hope of all believers throughout history. He inaugurated that heavenly kingdom in principle at his resurrection. And in union with him, we participate in and live out of that heavenly arena. Yet even though we are no longer strangers to the covenants of promise, we, like Ruth was, are still foreigners in this present evil age, which is passing away. We still share Ruth's confession that we are strangers and exiles on the earth. Our home as rightful citizens is heaven, the age which is to come and which has come with our Lord Jesus Christ. When the age which is to come arrives in perfection, then all of the earthly provisions which Ruth received from Boaz and which we still need during our pilgrimage here, those provisions will pale in comparison with the heavenly state of affairs. Though Boaz quenched Ruth's thirst by making his servant's water available to her, Ruth would thirst again. But Jesus, far better than Boaz, is himself the living water. Drink of him, you will find life, and you will thirst no more. And though Boaz satisfied Ruth's hunger by his overabundant provision at the table, Ruth would experience the pangs of hunger yet again. But Jesus, far better than Boaz, is himself the bread from heaven. Feed upon him. You will be satisfied, and you will have eternal life. When we arrive in the ultimate promised land, heaven, we will have no more hunger, no more thirst, no more need, for we will possess God himself. Come, let us bow down low to the ground before our heavenly kinsman redeemer and worship him. For though we were foreigners to him, he has redeemed us and given us refuge under his wing. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, who has treated us with all grace and mercy, we thank you that you have included us in your covenant. We thank you that you have made us to be citizens in your kingdom by the work of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are at the same time no longer strangers and yet still strangers. To you, we are not strangers, but your covenant children. To the world, we are strangers, foreigners and aliens. We ask that as we find ourselves in this story, identifying with Ruth as the one whom you have saved from what might seem to be hopelessness, that we would live our lives, not only this week, but the rest of the lives that you ordain for us to live in this world, understanding our identity in Christ, that we would serve you in all that we say, do, and think as those who belong to your covenant and to your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.